Genesis 39 and verse 2. And the Lord was with Joseph. Is that in your Bible? And he was a prosperous man, and he was in the house of his master. The Lord was with Joseph. He was a prosperous man, even though he was in the house of an Egyptian. Go to verse 21. Same scripture. 21. The Bible says, but the Lord was with Joseph, and he showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. What was the basis of his favor? Divine presence. That there was something about the presence of God upon Joseph. He was not the only prisoner. In fact, he was not the first prisoner. Before he arrived, there were other prisoners. But as soon as he showed up, he didn't just come with chains. He came with the presence. And the Bible says it brought prosperity and it brought favor to Joseph. Number two. What is the implication of the manifest presence of God in and upon a man's life? Are you ready? Rest roundabout. Rest roundabout. Exodus chapter 33, please. From verse 13 and 14. Rest roundabout. It says, now therefore, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way, that I may know thee, that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. Next verse. And he said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you, say rest. My presence shall go with you, and that is what secures your rest. There is no possibility. That means trouble will never end from the life of a man who ignores the presence of God. It will be one kind of trouble and tragedy connecting after another. Divine presence can secure rest. 2 Chronicles chapter 15 and verse 12. 2 Chronicles 15 and verse 12. We're reading to 15. The Bible says, and they entered into a covenant. Please look up, everyone. Very powerful scripture. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. Is that in your Bible? That whosoever should not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. 14. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice and with shouting and with trumpets and with cornets. 15. The Bible says, and all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with all their desire, and he was found of them. As a result, the Lord gave them rest round about. I prophesy to someone in the name of Jesus, this is the season you will step into strange rest. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Age-long battles, age-long disappointments, age-long captivity, it comes under arrest right now in the name of Jesus Christ. Please sit down. Rest round about. The manifest presence of God, that when the Lord is in the midst of you and he is mighty, he can be mighty to give you rest. Not just mighty to give you favor. God can be mighty to give you rest roundabout. Are you learning? Number three, when the Lord is mighty in the midst of you, finds expression as his manifest presence, what do you stand to enjoy? Three, supernatural protection and preservation. Oh, this is powerful. Supernatural protection and preservation. Please listen carefully, especially in light of the evil times that we live in. Hallelujah. Now watch this. Say I buy a product that is very expensive, and the product is somewhere hidden in that package. Look up, please. If I throw that package up and it falls, does it hurt the product? Because the product is so secure. What suffers is what is wrapping it, not the product. Is that true? How many of you have carried a crate of eggs, not wrapped, not covered, and you climbed a bike or you climbed something and only half of it arrived home because bombs kept breaking everything one by one? Now the egg is wonderful, can serve you, but it was not covered and protected. Those who do poultry business, they have a way of wrapping that thing to a point that even if the car keeps turning, it will arrive safely. Is that true? The glory of God can become your shield and covering, that whether it is by your left or right, you can be so immune and protected. Let me show you a few scriptures. Psalm 23 and verse 4. We read that earlier. Let's read it again. It says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. That means anytime you see evil, forget about the evil and verify whether he's with you. If he's not with you, find him fast. Don't be distracted by the evil. You have no immunity against the effect of evil if you do not secure that he is with you. For thou art with me. Isaiah chapter 43 from verse 1 to 3. Isaiah 43, very powerful, instructive scripture. But now, Isaiah 43, 1 to 3. But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. Prophesy, say, I will not fear. One more time, say, I will not fear. Fear not, he says, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by name. Thou art mine. Verse 2. He says, when thou passest through the water, I will be with thee. He didn't say, I will take the water away. Just know that I am with you. And when you pass through the rivers, it shall not overflow you. When you walk through fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon you. Verse 3. It says, for I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. I am with you. Daniel chapter 3 from verse 23. Daniel chapter 3. What the manifest presence of God, the Shekinah of God, that when the Lord is in the midst of you, he is also mighty to protect, mighty to defend, mighty to preserve. And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down, bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished. Why? And rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered unto the king, true, O king. 25. And he answered, lo, I see four men. Lo, I see four men walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Next verse. And Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. And they all came forth. 27. And the princes, governors, captains, watch carefully, and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men upon whose bodies the fire had no power. That means the effect of fire is not generic. There are people who have seen. I told you that when you throw a product up, if it is properly wrapped, It is what wraps it that suffers. Nor was an hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. The fourth man who appeared in the fire, the chains all of a sudden were caught, and the people were moving in the midst of fire as though it were not fire. Fire that had been made seven times hotter, that those who prepared it fell, and the Bible says they died. Supernatural protection and preservation. Let's finish up the scripture. And Nebuchadnezzar said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who had sent his angel and delivered his servant that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies, that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. The effect, therefore, I make a decree that every people, nation, language which speak anything amiss against the God of these three Hebrew boys shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made a dunghill, because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. Hold on. Do you know what this means? That there is a way God delivers that is like a signature. You will know he's the one. There are certain kinds of deliverances that you may suspect that maybe this is another kind of God, but that when God shows up, there is a way he can deliver. Nebuchadnezzar is not naive as to spiritual things, and here he's saying that there is no other God that can deliver after this sort. The way God will come through for you in this season will surprise everybody around you. In the name of Jesus Christ, I say it again, the way my God will come through for you, you expect him to come this way, he will come in a way that will sign his signature upon your life, that everyone will know that there is a God that sits in heaven. Please sit down. It is a risk to walk outside of the Shekinah, the presence of God. There is no guarantee for immunity. The Bible is clear to us from Psalm 91 that there are arrows that fly by day. You know the thing about the arrow? You don't know who shot it. You just know there was an arrow. If I shoot an arrow, I can be from my room and yet shoot it there. If I use a sword, you will see the person holding the sword. But an arrow can go in battles, you don't know where they come from. But the presence of God can immune you. Can I tell you, if you intend to rise, if you intend to grow, if you intend to manifest the influence of the kingdom, please understand divine presence. Otherwise, you will fall down one day for no reason, and you probably might not be able to get up. Are we together? If you ever think everybody will clap for you because you are rising, think again. We live in a world that is immersed in wickedness, but in the name of Jesus, that presence will rest upon you and surround you, and any arrow projected towards you, that the thick skin of that cloud will not only stop it, it can reverse it back. In the name of Jesus Christ. The psalmist said in Psalm 3, please give it to us. Psalm 3, verse 1. Lord, how they increased that trouble me. Many are they, he says, that rise up against me. 2. Many are they which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. I love it. I'm not going to sing it, but I will recite it. It says, but thou, O Lord, art a... Hold on. It didn't say you brought a shield. You are the shield yourself. Did the Bible not tell you the name of the Lord is a strong tower? That you can enter and you are saved. From today, anyone who plots evil against you, whether by witchcraft or divination, whether you are asleep or awake, in the name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God, before you wake up, judgment would have happened already. Please sit down. Now watch this. In the New Testament, Jesus gave us a very powerful illustration that while men slept, it was time for sleep. The Bible says an enemy came. Certainly that enemy found access. There was no covering, no hindrance. Did you know that there is a name Satan is called? The thief. Question: how many thieves will come through your gate and knock responsibly and say, "I came to steal"? The thief is a master at violating order. A thief is not just one who steals. He's a master at violating order. A thief does not respect due process. He tells you there is an adversary who does not respect due process. And that cloud can cover you while you sleep. And someone is making enchantments and saying, "How can this person be the first to rise in this family? Let us conjure something that will bring him down." And while they try to project you, they think it's your face that will show up. Shabakatos kadibata, krate kaparentes katabata. At that enchantment is fire that will answer right from that shrine. In the name of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you this? I want you to believe what I'm telling you. Hallelujah. There are many of you, listen to me, just when you want to rise and move and excel, here comes these arrows that fly by day, the noisome pestilence that wastes in noonday. Every time you see people rise and cannot continue, something is stopping them. Hallelujah. Can I tell you this? When the glory of God rests upon you, you not only find favor, you not only find rest roundabout, you can be sure of your protection. Listen, you can hold a gun to protect you. Your gun is only useful if your hands are not tied. Is that true? And you can shoot, and if you have the courage to shoot. Is that true? There are certain assaults of the devil that happens so fast. You will need to be immune before, not during. Hallelujah. You see, by reason of what I do, I'm not just glorifying Satan. Believe me, by reason of what I do, this is daily I interact with people who were not covered. You are my shield. You are my covering. You are my stability and my foundation. Take me to the place, the place you are, the secret place. That's where I wanna be. I like this part of the song. You are my shield. You are my covering. You are my stability. My foundation. You are my shield.
You are my covering.
You are my covering.
You are my stability.
You are my stability.
My foundation.
Hear me, when Jesus started rising and he was making news in the town, is it in your Bible that some people came and gathered? Their assignment was not for him to stop. Their assignment was for him to die. If it happened to Jesus, who flattered you into believing that indefinitely you will keep rising, changing lives, affecting destinies, and then the gates of hell will fold their arms. Your church, your ministry, your voice, your business. No, Satan has not changed. It's not only God who does not change. Satan too does not change. He is the same. Oh, from the time he became Satan, he remains Satan. Don't you think your life will make him sympathize with you? You don't know the enemy you are dealing with. If Satan did not pity little children and there was a cry in Ramah, you are an adult, why should he pity you? It takes the covering of that cloud. Because if he cannot get you, he will come to your children. When he wanted to reach Jesus, he started with Peter, then Judas, and he killed two birds with one stone, because both Judas and Jesus died. Unfortunately, Judas died without Jesus, so he couldn't come back. Can I tell you this? That covering is so powerful. There is space for everyone who cares to enter. That means you can't enter and leave your children. You can't enter and leave your husband or your wife. Even your business can enter. Even your ministry can enter. Even your school can enter. Don't watch attacks happen around your life and keep wondering. I want to know the name of all the demon spirits. It is not necessary. You just find that covering. Supernatural protection. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Of whom shall I be afraid of? The Lord is the strength of my life, he says. I shall not fear what man does to me. Listen, you can get up in the morning and go to the market. You know you are innocent, but how do you guarantee everybody there is innocent? You can step into a car and you are ready to drive. Just because the car is sound does not mean you are safe. I'm not scaring you. Are we together now? This was one of the things I sorted out with God early, because I knew the things you'll be doing through my life, and I'm telling you, even this one does not work by default. I don't mean to scare you. You desire greatness, and when that anointing came upon you, Satan saw it too. Satan knows that instead of fighting every child in your school, of the 500 students in your school, he should fight you and bring you down. He has won. There are people who are equal nations. Why should Satan fight nations when he can fight them? It's cheaper to fight them. If there is any current attack over anyone's life here, under the sound of my voice, you have been seeing patterns around your life that you don't understand. Maybe in the life of your spouse, those following, make sure you connect. I'm speaking now. I'm speaking from that glory in the name of Jesus, the Son of the Living God. I command those attacks that they come to an end now. Hear me. Hear me. When it was time to end Zechariah's captivity, when Gabriel came and Zechariah was questioning him, he said, I am Gabriel that stands in the presence of God. In other words, will I be false and leave the presence of God and come to you? I am coming from the presence. Oh, let me speak from that presence, that in the name of Jesus again, anything that fights you goes down instantly. Help them, please. Anything that fapakatoskata, it goes down instantly. Please sit down. Supernatural protection. There are all kinds of things happening. Kidnappings, demonic things, ritual activities that just want to waste people's lives. Can I tell you, you can only do your best to protect yourself physically. Let me tell you the truth. You can find rest. There are many people who are afraid now. They can't travel. They can't go out because they are not sure. Look how unsafe the world is, unfortunately, even our regions. The moment you are a person of influence, you don't even know what can happen. People have died because somebody shook them. The same kiss that is supposed to be a proof of love was a sign to an enemy. This is the one to kill. So someone can shake you. How are you? God bless you. Every business and every ministry that has gone under attack, every man of God whose voice is being fought by Satan, every anointing, whether in this city, in this nation, you are a man of God and the devil is fighting your voice, fighting your relevance, fighting your ministry. I come from that presence and I decree and declare that battle comes to an end now. Hear me. Every business here under strange attacks. You used to do well, but you don't know what suddenly happened. Sales have gone down, clients have gone down, inexplainable tragedies. By the power that raised Christ from the dead, that devil gives way now. Every parent here, you don't seem to understand what is happening with your children again. Poor performance in school, wasting your school fees. They are intelligent people, but something happens to them. In the name of Jesus, I declare deliverance for you now. Please sit down. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Do you know, let me tell you this. When you understand the mystery of the presence of God, it is beyond the realm of anointing. No. You can be a carrier of the living presence of God. That when people come within the circumference of your person, this is not about falling down or standing up. Unconsciously, you can be in a place, and when God wants to rescue a destiny, he will just make them pass close to you. Did the Bible not say the shadow of Peter? The Bible called it shadow. We know better. It's not the shadow. They came under the influence. Peter carried that presence. Take that presence to your office and watch what happens. Take that presence to your business. For as long as you think I'm just a homo sapien, I'm just an intellectual. No. You are a carrier of that presence. That you make up your mind that I will never shake anybody or greet anybody and the person goes back and nothing changes. No. Hear me. Someone comes to greet you and says, good afternoon, sir. He shook your hand and left, and he may not know what he carried. All he knows is that I shook his hand and goodness and mercy began to follow me. What is the mystery behind my day? Favor from morning, rest following me, and the Lord will remind them that you shook one who stands in the presence. Hallelujah. Please sit down. So number one, the Lord can be mighty in your midst to bring supernatural favor. Number two, rest roundabout. Number three, protection and supernatural protection and preservation. Are you ready for number four? The fourth blessing that comes upon any individual who pays that price to be a carrier of God's manifest presence is called honor and exemption. Honor and exemption. Please give us Isaiah 43 from verse 3 to 6. Let's read from Amplified. Isaiah 43 from verse 3 to 6. Someone's life is changing. Now watch this. I like us to read, or I'll just read, you just follow. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. It says, I give Egypt to the Babylonians for your ransom. God is sharing men to bail you out. Look at this. Ethiopia and Seba for your release. Next verse. It says, because you are precious in my sight and honored, and because I love you, what will I do? I will give men in return for you and people in exchange for your life. This is your Bible. That when you can secure that presence, God will rather give a nation as a ransom to preserve you. Verse 5. Fear not, for I am with you. I will bring your offsprings from the east, where they are dispersed, and gather you from the west. The last verse. It says, for I will say to the north, give up. Do you know what this means? I will say to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. That everything that has been scattered north, south, east, and west, that because you have secured the presence of God, he can begin to give instructions. It is not just men. Men don't come alone. Men come with things. When the Magi saw the star that identified where Jesus the King was, they came with gifts. The Bible says they came with the gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. When Job was about to be restored, the Bible says all the people who left him, they started coming from everywhere. Job 42 and verse 10. Give it to us, please. Job 42 and verse 10. That the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends, and the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had. How did that happen? 11. The Bible says, then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and they that had been his acquaintance before. Something made them leave him and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him and comforted him over the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money. Every man. First Samuel chapter 18. Let's start our reading from verse 10, still amplified. First Samuel 18 from verse 10. Are you ready? Watch what happened to the boy David. The Bible says the next day, an evil spirit from God. One day I will teach you that some of these expressions that mean an evil spirit from God, it was an error in the understanding of the prophets those days, because evil does not proceed from God. But for now, let's just look at it. It says, and raved madly in his house, Saul now, and David played with his hands as at other times, and Saul was holding a javelin. Saul wanted to kill David. And the Bible says Saul cast the javelin and he thought, I will pin David to the wall. And David evaded him twice. Read on. Saul was afraid of David. Verse 12. It says, because the Lord was with him. Saul was afraid. David became a threat. What is it about this young boy that exempts him? That evil that should happen to him, even the one I planned, does not happen. Look at what Saul ended up doing. The man who wanted to kill David, watch what he ended up doing. Verse 13. So Saul removed David from him and made him commander over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. Verse 14. David acted wisely in all his ways and succeeded, and the Lord was with him. You see there again, 15. We're reading to 16. When Saul saw how capable and successful David was, he stood in awe of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, for he went out and came in before them. Everybody say honor. Say exemption. That's what happens when the Lord is in the midst of you, even to be mighty. Honor trails you like a shadow. Is someone learning? Saul wanting to kill David. David dodged that javelin and he ended up promoting him. When you read the previous verses, you will see that women began to sing songs to say, Saul killed 1,000 and David 10,000, and it grieved his heart. Can I tell you this? You can respect yourself, you've heard me say, but you cannot honor yourself. Nobody has the power to honor himself. Honor is conferred upon you. Are we together? Yeah. There are many believers who love God. There are many gifted and graced people, but they lack this grace for honor. Honor causes men to perceive you correctly, to match the worth of your sacrifice, and then to reward you accordingly. The assignment of honor is to keep correcting perceptions until it matches who you truly are. Hallelujah. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. That's the end of his story. Then it goes back to scene one and says that the mother bore him in sorrow and she named him Jabez because of her pain. And he got to a point where he found out his contemporaries had risen, nothing was working in his life. He took responsibility. Oh, that thou wouldest bless me, he said, and enlarge my coast. And he prayed, and the Bible says God had him. Four things that the presence of God secures. Never forget this. So that when you see people walking in this possibility, the secret is not any invention of themselves. They have found security in the manifested presence of God. The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. Let me give you five keys very quickly. Five keys. Haven't told you the benefit and the blessings that come when you secure the manifest presence of God. Let me show you the roadmap. Please follow very carefully. I want you to pray in 1 minute and say, Lord, open my eyes. Let me see. I need this in my life. Are you praying? Open my eyes that I will see, beholding wondrous things out of your law. Hallelujah. I give you these five keys as irrefutable spiritual keys, that everyone who understands and activates these keys, you will experience the manifest presence of God in your life alongside the blessings in a fearful way. Key number one, you want to secure the Shekinah of God in your life perpetually. The first key is passion for God. Passion for God. Matthew 22 and verse 37. Please, let's hurry up. Matthew 22, 37. Passion for God. You cannot secure that dimension of God's presence without passion for God. 22, 37. Matthew 22, 37. Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all thy heart. That means you can love him with part of it. Is that true? With all thy soul and with all thy mind. That means when it has to do with God, your heart, your mind, your brain, your soul, everything must plunge into it. Can I tell you? The presence of God is not a political issue. If you are not genuinely passionate, you can fake power, not presence. You can get adulterated power, not adulterated presence. Passion for God. John chapter 14 and verse 23. John 14, 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him. Is that in your Bible? And make our abode with him. So your love and your passion for God will secure that dimension of his presence. There are many believers who have not made up their minds to passionately love and seek Jesus. You can't secure that presence. He will love you. You are just ready to remain at the outer court. You are not ready to press through even to the Holy of Holies. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. First key, passion for God. But as it is written, it says, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Listen. There are many people who love preaching more than Jesus. There are people who love anointing more than Jesus. There are people who love the motions of spiritual leadership more than Jesus. There are people who love the accolades of men more than Jesus. Those who love business more than Jesus. Can I tell you, it's a risk in this end time to love anything and exalt it above and beyond Jesus. You want to secure divine presence. You want the Lord to be in the midst of you and even to be mighty. Let me tell you, it has to do with your love for Jesus, not your love for preaching, not your love for healing, not your love for deliverance. We're back to where it all starts. Passion. I love Jesus to what degree? Passion qualifies the love. It makes it deeper that he is everything. Church is quiet. Apostle, can't he just come? Was I? No, sir. No. Listen to me. Only a foolish person will take a visitor that you suspect to be a thief and take him to where you keep your money and your ATM and your jewelries and say, just sit here and wait for me. I'm traveling somewhere and I'll return back. Is that how much you hate yourself? There are visitors that when they come, they stand at the gate. You don't hate them, but they have not chosen to press deeper. So you, what are you looking for? Okay, this and that and that. All right, you give to them at the gate. There are others who may enter into the house and stay outside. You will honor them by bringing a seat and say, please sit outside. There are others who may get into the living room and sit carefully as though they are writing an exam. All of them are relationship dependent. There's somebody who will enter the living room, and even before you arrive, the person can just, he can even pick your remote and be flipping channels. It is all a product of relationship. And yet there are few, very few, who can even come and meet you in your room and say, how are you? They can even be helping you dress your cloth while you are not there. It is relationship dependent. So don't you give God the relationship of a stranger and expect to be at the inner court of the Spirit. It will not happen that way. Preacher, it will not happen that way. Businessman, it will not happen that way. There are people who will remain at the outer court. They are interested. Lord, I just hear you are something that blesses, whatever you are. I love you, and if you ever find a reason to bless me, I'm still here. Outer court. There are others who will push his hand and say, I'm looking for your heart. Do you know there are people who, they are not the owners of your house. They don't live in your house, but you are so close, you can give them the spare key. Have you seen people like that? To the point that you can call them and say, where are you? Okay, enter my house, go to my bedroom, open a drawer there, you will see some money or something, pick it up. Have you seen it? Yes, sir. You are talking, you have that confidence. That's why God can trust certain people with graces. And you are wondering, is God not afraid? Is it not a risk to make this person that powerful? Find out the relationships and the covenants that provide that possibility.
I love your presence. I love your presence.
Hallelujah. A gentleman sent me a text some months ago. I don't know who that is. Apparently, it's just something. I think maybe because he used to watch me just say the power of God will do this, this one will happen. And he just thought the thing just happens. And then I think he went to his fellowship or his group or something like that. And according to him, he said he repeated everything that he knew I was saying. And he made a mess and a fool out of himself there, because it is not a charm. You are not reciting, oh, the power of God will touch somebody here. This one, no. This is not. I am Gabriel that stands in the presence. Do you know what that means? Gabriel is saying, if I've come to destroy you, Zechariah, are you saying the eye of God did not see it? I am Gabriel, man of God, preach standing in the presence. Businessman, do business standing in the presence. And watch what happens to your life. Extraordinary manifestations of the glory of God. Many preachers will not pay the price to build that intimacy that creates that cloud of the presence. And we mechanically come before God's people. Then you want to prophesy. Then you want to preach. You will be surprised that you will be preaching a sermon that should be so powerful, and yet the people are looking at you like this, clueless, and wondering why you will end. Because it's just words, empty words, not backed by any presence. Hallelujah. Many years ago, I preached a message called Envoys of His Presence. And I was teaching believers this same thing, how to access divine presence. I have found it as a gift and a treasure. My greatest asset is not anointing. Believe me, my greatest asset is not the scriptures in my mind, as powerful as they are. My greatest asset is not my Bible. This was produced by a publishing house with people there who are not even born again. Are we together? My greatest asset is the presence of God. Cast me not away, not from my palace. Cast me not away from thy presence. He says, take not your spirit from me. He knew what he would miss. Moses said, do not let us live here if your presence will not go with us. Lord, can there be any koinonia service without your presence? What then will we be doing? Preaching? No.
Beloved, as we come to the end of today's sermon, as we wrap up finally, I want to leave you with a simple but life-changing thought. Don't overlook God's faithfulness in the small things, because if we're not careful, we can become so focused on the big prayers that we're waiting for that we miss the countless ways God has already been working in our lives. We thank God when miracles happen. We thank Him when doors open. We thank Him when prayers are answered. You know, we thank Him when breakthroughs arrive. And rightly so, right? But sometimes God's faithfulness is not found in dramatic moments. Sometimes it is hidden in ordinary days. The days that we rarely talk about, the days that seem uneventful, the days that feel normal, the days that we often take for granted. You woke up this morning, that is faithfulness. You made it through battles that once made you think you wouldn't survive. That is faithfulness. You have strength for today. That is faithfulness. Right? You have peace that you didn't have a year ago. That is faithfulness. You have wisdom from lessons God taught you through difficult situations. That is faithfulness. You're still standing despite everything you face. That is faithfulness. The truth is, God's goodness is often easier to see when we learn to pay attention. Many times you're waiting for God to do something new while overlooking what he is already doing. We become so focused on the destination that we fail to appreciate the journey. So focused on the next blessing that we forget the blessings already surrounding us. So focused on what is missing that we neglect what has been provided. And gratitude begins to disappear when appreciation is replaced by expectation. Now, expectation is not wrong. God wants us to believe Him for great things, right? He wants us to pray boldly. He wants us to trust Him fully. But while we are expecting what is ahead, we must also remain grateful for what is present, right? Because gratitude changes perspectives, right? Gratitude reminds us that God's faithfulness is not limited to extraordinary moments. His faithfulness is woven into everyday life. It's in the prayers He answered. It's in the prayers He protected you from receiving. It's in the opportunities He provided. And sometimes it's in the doors He closed. It's in the blessings that you noticed. And often it's in the dangers you never saw. How many times has God protected you without you realizing it? How many times has He guided you away from something harmful? How many times has it sustained you through seasons that should have broken you? How many times has He carried you when your own strength was not enough? The reality is that God's faithfulness surrounds us far more often than we recognize. And perhaps that is why gratitude is such a powerful spiritual discipline. Because gratitude trains our heart to see God's hand at work. It shifts our attention from what we lack to what God has provided. From what hasn't happened yet to what He has already done. From our problems to His provision. From our worries to His faithfulness. And here's something powerful. The people who recognize God's faithfulness in small things are often the people who maintain joy in every season. Not because life is perfect, not because challenges disappear, but because they have learned to see evidence of God's goodness everywhere. Even in difficult seasons, even during waiting seasons, even when answers have not yet arrived. They understand that God's faithfulness is not measured only by major breakthroughs. It is revealed daily, moment by moment, day after day, year after year. And perhaps someone listening today needs to pause and remember. Remember the prayer God answered. Remember the door that He opened. Remember the provision that He supplied. Remember the healing He brought. Remember the strength that He gave. Remember the comfort He provided. Remember the way He made when there seemed to be no way. Remember when you remember His faithfulness yesterday, it becomes easier to trust Him for tomorrow. The God who carried you then is still carrying you now. The God who provided before can provide again. The God who was faithful in one season will be faithful in the next. His character has not changed. His love has not changed. Neither have His promises changed. And His faithfulness certainly has not changed. So before this video ends, I want to challenge you to do something simple. Take a moment and think of three ways God has been faithful to you recently. Not 10 years ago, recently. Maybe they are big, maybe they are small. And maybe there are things that nobody else would even notice. But notice them. Acknowledge them. Thank Him for them. Because gratitude opens our eyes to the goodness of God. And a grateful heart is a heart that remains strong in every season. And as we wrap up finally, I pray that God opens your eyes to see His faithfulness. May He help you recognize His hand in both the extraordinary and the ordinary. May gratitude fill your heart. May hope fill your spirit. And may the remembrance of God's faithfulness strengthen your faith for whatever lies ahead. In Jesus' name. Thank you for staying with us up to the end. keep trusting, keep thanking, keep remembering the goodness of God, because God, who has been faithful before, will be faithful again. Once again, thank you for staying up to the end of today's sermon. God bless you. Please do not forget to share this video that you just watched from God's servant. Please share so others can be blessed. Share, subscribe to Reflector Hub TV if you haven't already. And don't forget to also click on the subscribe notification bell so you get to be notified whenever we post faithful content here. You won't get to miss out on any of them. And as you do that, the Lord Almighty will bless you in Jesus' name. Don't forget to like, share your thoughts in the comment section, and again, share this video. And as you do that, the Lord Almighty will bless you in Jesus' name. Remember to not be here as alone, but do as of God's word. God bless you, and see you in the next video.